Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We have just finished chapter 24, and we're getting ready to move into chapter 25. Chapter 25 records Abraham's marriage to Keturah, their sons, Abraham making a distinction between Isaac and the sons of Keturah, Abraham's death and burial, the descendants of Ishmael, Rebekah's barrenness, and Isaac's intercession for Rebekah's problem in pregnancy, God's word to her, the birth of twins, and the deception of Jacob. There's a lot in this chapter. Okay, verses 1 and 2. And again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. Let me just keep going. Is that okay? Let me finish these names. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Liamin. That was a hard one for me. Epher, Hanak, Abida, Eldada were the sons of Midian. I lost my place because I was looking at this. Oh, Ephah and Epher and Hanak and Abida and Elda all were the children of Keturah.
Okay. I want you to think about this. From the way it reads, it says afterwards. Is that the way it starts out?
It says, then again Abraham took a wife.
Verse 1, chapter 25.
Mm-hmm. Then again. Mm-hmm.
Then again.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, Abraham took a wife. Well, if this is truly after the death of Sarah and after the marriage of Isaac, then he would have been over 140 years old when he took this wife and had all these other kids. Six of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, of course, he lives to be 175 years old. So it just shows you when God does something, he does it right, doesn't he? And so it's important to know that God has a promise that promises to Isaac. The promise didn't go to Ishmael, nor did the promise go to the sons of Keturah. Keturah and Hagar, it's believed to be, it's obviously they were concubines, but both of them believed to be servants, okay, or slaves. But anyway, Keturah gives birth to six children, Hagar to one, and then Sarah to Isaac. So Abraham actually had eight sons that we see recorded in the scriptures. Okay, and from all these, to show you the blessing of Abraham, the faithfulness of God, nations come out of these sons. What did God tell him? He would make him the father of many nations. He does that. He did it, naturally. And then we have the spiritual nation of believers as well.
And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country.
And so Abraham's going to be certain that God's covenant's not tampered with. So while he's still living, he separates the sons of the concubines from the son of promise. He gives them gifts. In other words, he blesses them, but he sends them away. And then the possession passes on. The blessing, I could say, of Abraham passes down through Isaac, to Isaac and through Isaac.
And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife.
So a score is 20. Three score would be 60. Plus 15 would be 75, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham's 175 years old when he dies. So he lived to be a good old age. Now note this. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. So it's not like they have tremendous hostility toward one another. They come together and bury. It's their descendants that have the hostility. And so they bury Abraham in the cave where he, there at Machpelah, where he buried Sarah. And here again, this was the only possession that Abraham had in that land that he bought from the sons of Heth, the Hittite, Ephron the Hittite, and negotiated that price. So that's where he was buried. Now that'll come into play a little later on here. Just remember Heth and Hittite. Okay? Because we'll see that that's a concern of Rebekah's.
And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi.
So you see, Abraham's blessing manifested now through Isaac. After Abraham dies, God blesses his son Isaac, and Isaac lived near the well of Lahairoi.
Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bore unto Abraham.
Now look, just pay attention, because God is keeping his word. You'll see this through these descendants. God is keeping his word to Hagar and to Abraham when you see the descendants of Ishmael, okay?
And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedma. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names by their own towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations.
12 princes. What did God tell Abraham? I'll bless Ishmael because he's your son. I'll bless him, and he'll be a mighty nation. God told Hagar that he would be a nation. And these 12 princes came out from Ishmael.
Mm-hmm. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah to Shur, that is before Egypt, and now goes toward Assyria, and he died in the presence of all his brethren.
So Ishmael lived to be 137 years old. And he lived and died among his relatives and settled in the territory of Havilah, which is from Havilah to Shur was the territory. And that's east of Egypt as you would go to Assyria.
Right.
I'm giving you a general location, okay?
And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived.
All right, so this is given the descendants of Isaac, okay? Now, this is where I get Isaac was 40 years old, right out of this chapter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That he was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. We know Rebekah was the daughter of Bethuel. Note this, he's called the Syrian of Padanaram. Okay, that'll ring a bell with you when you get into the 26th chapter of Genesis. So he's the Syrian of Padanaram and the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And so here, this is an interesting thing in that this lady is handpicked by God to be Isaac's wife. And yet, she's barren for 20 years. She's barren, doesn't have children. And so, Isaac intercedes for his wife. And God answers his prayer, he honors his prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant.
You ready? And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord.
So during her pregnancy, something unusual was going on inside her body. So Rebekah goes before the Lord, and she asked the Lord, what's happening?
And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger."
He didn't say two babies are in your womb. He said two nations are in your womb. God calls the things that are not as though they are. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to become of these two sons. So God can declare to her, there are two nations that is going to come forth out of you. Interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Two nations will come forth from her. And he says that the one would be stronger than the other, and that the elder would serve the younger brother. Now, God tells her this before the twins are born. Two nations. But the youngest son is going to be the ruler over the older son. The elder will serve the younger. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did you keep on reading? Go ahead.
I will. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called him his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them.
So when the time came for Rebekah to deliver, she gave birth to twins. Now, it says the first one was reddish and hairy. Don't read into that what's not there. Okay, he obviously had a lot of hair, and you've seen some babies that when they're born are very red, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't try to read in something that's not there. And Then when he comes out, the second one comes out, and he takes hold of the heel. Jacob takes hold of the heel of Esau. The first one was named Esau, the elder. Now, when we say elder, we're talking about twins. We're talking probably minutes, so if that's maybe not very long difference, okay? And then, so they named him Jacob because he had taken the heel of his brother, and the word Jacob means supplanter, and some say heel catcher or whatever. And so there's probably some significance into that. You're going to serve me. Okay.
And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents.
So Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. Now, Isaac was 40 years old when they got married. So for 20 years, they haven't had children. Okay, but God answers his prayer.
Okay, I'm on verse 28. I read ahead.
You already read this one? So the twins' boys grew.
Mm-hmm.
Esau became a skillful hunter, and he's an outdoorsman, and Jacob was, it's called a plain, but if you look at that word plain, it actually it's like he's a gentleman who stayed around the tents, where Esau here is, he's the outdoorsman. Jacob, he's, I guess what a lot of people call homeboy. he's sticking around the home. Now, don't read into this something that's not there. That doesn't mean he was weak and puny and all that. We know that he knew a lot about animals.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that later on in his life. And then he actually becomes a shepherd. So he's evidently taking care of things there at the home place with the herds and things of that nature, where Esau's out here hunting game. Okay?
And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob.
Now we have a problem. Favoritism. Isaac. Esau's his favorite. Jacob is a favorite of Rebekah. Isaac likes Esau because he's an outdoorman, and Rebekah favors Jacob. Now, my guess would be because what God has spoken to her, the elder will serve the younger. And so she has more attention on the younger, who is actually going to become the predominant one. Okay?
And Jacob sawed or cooked pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray you, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom.
So we know Jacob could cook. He could make soup. That's what the pottage is. So Jacob, he's made some soup, and Esau comes from the field. He's exhausted. He asked Jacob to give him some of his red soup because he's exhausted. And incidentally, that's where the name Edom comes from. It was given to Esau because of the red soup, not because he was born being red, okay? And so that name stuck on him because of the red soup.
And Jacob said, "Sell me this day your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob.
Now Jacob's evidently a shrewd operator here. The birthright means that the one who gets the birthright, which is the oldest son, gets a double portion of the father's inheritance. Well, both of these boys know this, okay? And so Esau comes in, and he's tired, he's hungry, and you ever heard the phrase, "I'm just starving to death"? Well, that's basically what he's conveying here, because Jacob says, "All right, I'll give you some of my soup if you give me your birthright in exchange for it." That's some expensive soup, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Esau says, "Well, what good is it going to do me to have the birthright if I die? You know, well, I'm starving to death, right?" And so he swore to give Jacob his birthright, and so Jacob feeds him well. But then he has that birthright by oath between he and Esau.
That's an amazing thing how today if somebody said something like that, we'd say, oh, I didn't mean it. I take it back. But the word was spoken, and that word stood.
Well, it's not like you hear today. This generation, they're not good for the word. I know my daddy, he said, your word is your bond. You give your word, then you keep your word, even if it costs you or hurts you. You keep your word. And if you think about it, the blessings that you see in the Bible are words. They're just words. But they're words impregnated with faith. When God blessed Abraham, God meant what he said and believed what he said. When Abraham passes this blessing, and you see these blessings, Moses spoke blessings, Jacob spoke blessings. What were the blessings? Isaac spoke a blessing, which we'll see a little later on. That those words are so powerful, they carry such meaning to them, that Esau's going to kill Jacob for getting the blessing. Words
mm-hmm.
that they believed would come to pass. I'm going to tell you, we need to put greater emphasis on our words. Jacob kept his word to Esau, but Esau kept his word to Jacob on the birthright. You don't see any arguing or any him getting upset per se over the birthright. Interesting. But words got him highly upset.
Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Now, when it says he despised it, what it just if you look at it, he had no respect to that birthright. Didn't mean anything to him. And yet that was an honor placed upon one. That thing was in place by God, you understand? And you'll see it incorporated in the law of Moses that the firstborn of that man, even if he had more than one wife, he loved one, hated the other. If the one he hated had the son first, that son got the birthright. God was very adamant with all that. But Esau didn't have respect to what God had given him, what he was blessed with. Just give it away.
You remember reading in Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 16? Y'all can turn there and look. Lest there be any fornicator or profane or godless person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. God called that profane, you understand.
Couldn't get it back.
Mm-mm. Chapter 26.
All right.
It documents the famine that occurred in Isaac's time, his journey to Gerar, his lying about Rebekah being his sister, God forbidding him to go to Egypt, Isaac sowing in famine and reaping a hundredfold the same year, the increase of his possessions, the Philistines' jealousy of him, the contention over the wells Isaac dug, his meeting and covenant with Abimelech, Ahuzath, Phicol, the chief captain of Abimelech's army, and the grief Esau brought to his parents by marrying daughters of the Hivites. The Hittites. All right, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar.
So there's a famine in the land, and it was not the one that occurred during Abraham's lifetime. And so Isaac goes to the Philistines, to the city of Gerar, which was ruled by King Abimelech.
And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto your seed all these countries. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar.
So the Lord appears to Isaac and tells him, do not go to Egypt, but to settle in the land where he was, which was occupied by Philistine. And the Lord told him to stay there, and he'd be with him, and he'd bless him. And he told Isaac that he would give to him and his descendants all this land. Now think about that. I'll give you all the land of the Philistines. Isn't that where he was? I'll give you all this land, just as he has sworn to his father Abraham. And then he gives that, comes in with that Abraham blessing. I'm going to multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven. In other words, he's telling them, him, what he had told Abraham. And he said, I'm going to give them all the land. And through your seed, all these nations of earth are going to be blessed. And he said, here's why. Because of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Because Abraham did what I told him to do. He was faithful. You understand? And so, I'm going to tell you, you know, faithful fathers can be a blessing to their children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, Abraham taught Isaac well. Remember what God told Abraham when he's about to sow, about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Shall I keep this from him? I know that he'll rule his family well as my. He'll look after his family. He'll have them going in the right direction. Well, he had his servant going in the right direction, and he had his son going in the right direction.
Verse 7, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for she feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon.
Wonder where he got that idea from. Now see, Abraham, it was partially true, but with Isaac, there was no truth in it. And so he's, remember, Rebekah was beautiful. Remember that? And so he's thinking like his daddy thought. You know, they'd probably kill me to get my wife. So you tell them you're my sister. We'll just say you're my sister.
And it came to pass when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is your wife. And how said you, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her.
One day Abimelech's looking out the window, and he sees Isaac and Rebekah frolicking. Hey, this is not brother-sister here. This is something else. So he calls for Isaac, and he confronts him with this. And he just says, it's obvious that Rebecca's your wife. So why did you say she was your sister? And he says, because I was afraid you'd kill me for her.
Verse 10, and Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might lightly have leaned with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon us.
So Abimelech told Isaac that what he was done was not a light thing. And obviously it wasn't a light thing, because one of the men could have had sexual relations with her, and then it would have brought guilt upon Abimelech's people.
And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.
And so Abimelech tells his men, his servant, that no one better touch that man's wife. If you do, you'll be killed.
Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him.
Now, think about this. There was famine in the land.
Mm-hmm.
God said, stay here. You stay here where the famine is. And he sows in the famine and receives in that same year a hundredfold return. Now, if that's not the blessing of God, what would you call it? Understand, God's good for his word. God's faithful to him.
And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him.
So God is blessing him so much, he's increasing in all these areas, so the Philistines become jealous because he is so blessed. So here again, they're going to confront him.
For all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth.
So it started by them filling the wells up that Abraham had dug. They just filled them up with dirt.
And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there.
So Abimelech asked Isaac to leave. You're greater than we are now, so you leave. So Isaac didn't argue, as we see. He left the city of Gerar, and he went to the valley and settled there.
And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them.
So in this area, Abraham had obviously traveled. He dug wells, and Isaac, he redigs them and calls them by the name that Abraham had given them.
And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strife with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him.
And so he digs a well, and because it has a lot of water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarrel with him. And so he calls this well Esek, which means strife.
And they dug another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna.
Sitna, which means enmity.
And he removed from thence and dug another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.
Now, this interested me. It actually amuses me a little bit. When I drive by and I see a church named Rehoboth, I think evidently there's been a quarrel in the past. And now by that name it says God's made room for us. We have our own place now. Okay? That's what he was saying concerning this well.
And he went up from there to Beersheba. Verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake.
So here at Beersheba, the Lord reaffirms to Isaac the blessing, and he introduces himself as, I'm the God of your father Abraham. And then, don't fear, I'm with you. I'll bless you and multiply your descendants because of my servant, just like Abraham. And so God's just reassuring Isaac, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well.
So what does Isaac do? He builds an altar. Mm-hmm. He calls upon the name of the Lord. And he settles there, and they dig a well. Now, you may ask, well, why is it always saying they dug a well? Because they had to have water supply. They settle in this area, they have to have water, so they're digging wells. So that's a very important thing, okay? So they settle here, he builds an altar, he digs a well. And our time's up. We're going to have to stop there, so we'll pick back up, I guess, in verse 26.
Yes.
Okay. Of chapter 26.
26.
Got it. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week.